title of today's message is, What is Your Story? If you have your Bible there in Acts chapter 16, I want to tell you one big story that has several stories that are part of it. It's a composite story. And the theme here in Acts chapter 16 is that God works in supernatural ways for the salvation of people. And I would like to think today that for all of us here, God has worked in a supernatural way, bringing us to a decision where we love Christ and we want to obey Him. And for those with us today who have not made that decision, I hope your mind considers the fact that God loves you so much that He will use supernatural events and circumstances to bring you to a place where you make a decision for the kingdom of God. It begins in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and begged him. He said, Come over to Macedonia and help us. I used to have a friend who had visions and dreams. And often on Sabbath morning, she would meet me in the foyer and she would say, Pastor, I've had a dream. And she would tell me the dream, whether I really wanted to hear it at that moment or not. And then she would always ask, What does it mean? Paul didn't have that problem here. He knew this vision, this dream was of God, inviting him to go to a place and work called Macedonia. Several cities there are represented if you read verses 11 and 12. He finally comes to Philippi. Silas is with him. Most likely Timothy and Luke are with him. In verse 13 it says, And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where something was happening. Now, if you read the commentaries on this story, it's a big deal that they went outside the city walls, outside the city gates. It was not a Jewish community at all. And Paul is attracted to an outside meeting hall. If there are men present, they're not mentioned in Scripture. It says that they went out to this place, a place where prayer was to be given. They sat down and they spake, and the women listened. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Now remember, our theme today is God working in a supernatural way so that people make a decision for Christ. There was a woman there by the name of Lydia. She had a business. She sold purple cloth, purple dye. Evidently, she had some means because she had her own house. Married or not, the Bible doesn't give us that information. But as she listened to the Apostle Paul giving the story of the gospel, her heart was open. There's a lot goes on between verse 14 and 15 that the Bible doesn't give us the information for. They had a baptism. Now remember, where were they? They were down near the river. And when she was baptized, and her household, as people living there with her, she begged Paul. She says, If you think I'm faithful, if the Lord has a work for me to do, I want you to come and stay at my house for a while. Come to my house. Stay there with us. Let's push the rewind button. back to the story. Paul is asleep. He has a vision. He has a dream. Go over to Macedonia. That's a region, several cities there. They go to Philippi. They stay there several days looking for people to witness to. Finally, they hear that on Sabbath there's a group of women out near the river outside of the city, and those women are praying. Lydia knows about God, but she hasn't really reached down inside and had to answer the question. If I were to die today, would I be ready to meet Jesus? Supernaturally now, God has led Paul and whoever is with him to that particular town on that particular day. And Paul finds himself sitting in that particular meeting. When he preaches unto them Christ, because that was his commitment, he says, I will preach nothing but the gospel of Christ, Jesus, and him crucified. That must have been what he talked about. And Lydia's heart was touched, and she says, this is the last step in my commitment, in my worship to God. I want to publicly make my statement that I am a servant of the true God of heaven. When they explained to her the importance of baptism, yes, I want to be baptized. Let's do it. And then in response to that, her heart overflows to Paul because they're having to stay somewhere. I would assume they were spending money. They were renting someplace. Come stay with me. Now the story changes. We can stop the rewind button. We go into play. Verse 16. Still at Philippi now. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Special action at a special time of the day. They are going to pray. And a certain damsel. Don't you like that word, damsel? Everybody say it with me. Damsel. What is that anyway? Is it good or bad? Now be careful. It's just a young girl. Not necessarily good or bad. But read on a little bit. A certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or telling the future. Teenage girl, possessed with demons, begins to fall upon. She did tell the truth, though. Verse 17. This same girl followed Paul and us, and this was her message. She says, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Wasn't that truthful? So what's the problem? The problem is that Paul, he didn't really need that special help to get his message out. People in the community knew that this girl had a unique gift. Can you imagine the demons working together with the holy angels? This is quite an odd combination here. But she was telling the truth. She was saying, these men right here are servants of the Most High God. They show unto us the way of salvation. Anybody that would believe her, though, would actually be believing a message from Satan. Although it might be a truthful message. Now go home this afternoon and sort through all of that. But finally, Paul's patience just caught up with him. In verse 18, it says that she did this for many days. No doubt Paul in the evening hours would talk to Silas, Timothy. Maybe he spoke to Lydia. Maybe he shared his concern. This lady needs to stop doing this. This is hindering our work here. We cannot be real missionaries with the fervor and the blessing of God as long as this girl is here following us around. Finally, on one day, the girl shows up. Maybe Paul says something like this, "Come here, I want to talk to you." In the name of Jesus Christ, demon, I want you to leave. And there was silence in her voice. Bible says the demon came out that very hour. Now, verse 19. You see, supernaturally, God is willing to work. God wants to work. He is working even today with circumstances and people so that our decision for Christ will be cemented, it will be welded firmly in place, but also working in such a way that people who've not made a decision will make a decision for Christ. I wish I had the information that this young lady was eventually converted and gave her life over to gospel ministry. That's what I wish I had. Scripture doesn't deny it, it just doesn't say that. But it made the men very angry who had been making money off this young girl. So they catch Paul and Silas. They made a false charge against them. They said, "These men are Jews. They're foreigners. They do things that trouble our city. We're Romans. We're not like them." They stirred up the multitude against them. It wasn't long before the magistrates commanded that Paul and Silas be beaten. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer, "Whatever you do, don't let these men escape." That man, he followed orders. He put their feet in stocks. Some of the prisoners had ankle bands around their ankles and also around their arms, made out of metal. Often the stocks were made out of wood. That was just a wooden frame. And they could spread the position so that the prisoner sat with his legs wide open in a very uncomfortable position. So there's Paul and Silas in jail. They've been beaten. They're hungry. They're hurting. And now we come to verse 25. It happened at midnight. Symbolically, when I think of midnight, the midnight hour of Earth's history, the midnight hour of someone's life, the midnight hour of a relationship, I think of something coming to an end just by that symbolism. Metaphorically, there's a message here, Bruce. At midnight, these missionaries of God who started out with a supernatural vision. They've obeyed God. They've done everything God wanted them to do. They've had converts. They've seen the blessing of God. They know they are at the right place. They've been plagued by the young girl possessed by the demons. They find themselves now in jail. It's the midnight hour, hungry, hurting, maybe cold, but not in despair. Not hopeless. You do not find a hopeless person praying and singing. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Let's push the rewind button again. Where was Paul staying? At Lydia's house. When he first met Lydia and her friends, one of the big things they were doing was praying. When Paul doesn't come home, I would imagine that they started inquiring. Where is he? Where is Silas? They've been placed in jail. They're in prison. They begin to pray. God, we don't know all that much about you. We've not served you that long. We don't understand everything about the way you work. But if there's any way that you can work so that Paul and Silas can get out of jail, please do it, Lord. So that group of people are praying. It's at midnight. Paul and Silas are praying. There's a time for silent prayer. We discussed this at prayer meeting Wednesday evening. And there's a time for public prayer. Paul and Silas had no idea of the supernatural ability God was going to manifest there at the midnight hour when they were in jail. And the end result of that would be a whole family would choose to be saved that very night. Eternity hanging in the balance for a family, and they didn't even know it. Paul and Silas pray, and they sing. I wonder what they were praying for. It's been a long time since I've been in jail. That's all I want to say about that. But your first reaction is to pray that you can get out. Lord, save us. We've done what you wanted us to do. We've preached your word to the best of our ability. We know we have your blessing because Lydia and others have found faith. People have been saved in this town of Philippi, but we can't do anything as long as we are in this prison. Oh, how small our faith sometimes is. The very place that God put Paul and Silas was the very place there was a lot of sinners around. Wouldn't you expect a jail to be a good place for ministry? Now, I don't want to make a blanket statement and say everybody in jail is a sinner, but come on. Paul and Silas pray. The other prisoners are listening to them, and they also sing. And they must have had a pretty good voice, or otherwise the ruffians in the prison would have said, if you don't shut up when I get free, I'm going to fix it so you don't sing anymore. They would have been singing the psalms and the praises from heart that they knew, and the music floated all through that prison. The midnight hour, and the prisoners cannot even go to sleep. And Paul and Silas are praying to the Jehovah God, the one true God. Those prisoners in there most likely were Romans, not of the Jewish faith, certainly not of the Christian faith. All of their worship was confined to homemade, carved statues and of animals and bits of nature that do not see and hear and breathe. And Paul and Silas are praying and singing about the living God, the Jehovah God, the creator of heaven and earth. How that Jesus was born, lived the perfect life, met the demands of sacrifice, died, placed in the tomb, rose again the third day. That was the gospel. He said, I will preach nothing else but Jesus and Him crucified. I wonder if somewhere there as they were praying and singing, he got the idea across that everybody needs Christ. He doesn't just come. You must invite Him. You must ask Him to come. Now, supernaturally, God wasn't worried about answering His prayer. God could have done it any number of ways. But He decided to show up in a blaze of glory. The very next verse says that there was an earthquake. I've never been in an earthquake. I've only seen pictures. But of all the pictures that I've seen, the items on shelves fall off, the chandeliers swing back and forth. Keep in mind now, it was probably dark where they were because they were in the inner part of the prison. Bits of roofing begin to fall down. Somebody shouts, it's an earthquake. The walls begin to crumble. The Bible says there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. We know it was supernatural. It says all the doors were opened. Oh, but something else. The last part of verse 26 says, and everyone's bands were loosed. Those wooden homemade stocks came apart. The chains around their arms and others with ankles and chained to the walls. All of that came off supernaturally. Now, had you been there as a prisoner? Had you been listening to Paul and Silas praying, God help us, God save us, and loose us from these bands here that keep us in the prison? And had you been sitting over there in the corner, locked just like they were, your heart would have had to believe there is a God in heaven. He is real. He is alive. He has heard the pleading of Paul and Silas. Well, the man in charge of the prison, he had slept through every bit of this. I didn't know they had Ambien in those days. The keeper of the prison, we call him the jailer, he saw the prison doors open. He drew out his sword. He would have killed himself. But he hears the voice of Paul. Paul says, don't hurt yourself. We are all here. I'm telling you, it was all dark. Somehow, in that supernatural release of the earthquake, that man, the least suspecting one in the whole dramatic story to find Christ, suddenly his heart is emptied of selfishness and condemnation and rudeness and crudeness that would go along with being a person of his demeanor who would be in charge of a jail in those days. They get a light from somewhere, and they bring the light in, and truly the place is a wreck. Even the big stones and the foundation, they've just crumbled and come apart, but no one is killed, no one is injured. Talk about a story to tell. When that man sees that all the other prisoners are there, he realizes this is not an ordinary event. The presence of this Jehovah God, this living God, must be in this place. I want what those missionaries have. I want to have the same story like they have. I once was blinded by sin, but I want to be able to see. I think there's something in the heart of all humanity that it crosses gender and race and age. There's an empty hole inside of us when we don't have Christ here. This man had it. He honestly did not know the answer. He falls down in complete obedience, if you please, to the prisoners. To Paul and Silas, and he says, what do I have to do to have what you have? What must I do to be saved? I promise you, I stand on the authority of what we may someday see in person. I promise you this. When all this shaking started, Paul didn't know what the end result was going to be. He didn't know that people would get saved as a result of his seeing a vision of traveling all those miles by boat and by foot and by donkey, and of meeting the family of Lydia, and that the corporate prayers of Lydia in their behalf would be so meaningful. That their beatings and the accusations against them and their being placed into prison, Paul didn't understand it all at first, how all those events would produce a beautiful story. The most unsuspecting man of all would be given a story. The jailer. We don't even know his name. He says, I want you to come. Come over. Talk to my family. Talk to my household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house. Verse 32, if you have it in your Bible, may I remind you here, it says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in this house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and he was baptized. Talk about a story. If that man were here today, he could sing the same song that we're going to sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I've been praying today that for each of you, I didn't know who was going to be here today, but my prayer this week has been, Lord, will you please bless in a supernatural way the simple reading and explanation of Scripture, so that should there be any in the audience Sabbath morning who have not made a decision for Christ, that they would make it. And that they would be able to see circumstances lining up in a supernatural way, leading them to receive Christ. Our closing hymn today, hymn number 462, is titled, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. I'm going to asked Bruce if he would come and lead us in that song, and I'm going to step right down here. And as we sing that song, if the Lord has touched your heart this morning and you would like to say, Pastor, I've been a believer, but I've never really given my life fully to Christ. I want to have the same story as those people. I want to really be able to say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I want it for security. Father God in heaven, today we thank you for the privilege of salvation, for what is offered to us through the gift, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and through the simplicity of your word, we can see a complicated story that brought certain people to redemption. And today we stand in this hallowed place, believing that you have done the same thing for us. And I thank you for Tracy, who's come forward today to kneel and to pray, to reaffirm her faith in you. For Vicky, who also brings her need. And it's our prayer as a church that your arms of support and love will surround them. Their experience would be surely like those we've read about this very day, in which acceptance and redemption, reconciliation takes place now and for the rest of their life. With our heads bowed now and eyes closed, I want to be so bold to ask, were there others here today who wanted to come up but you did not? Would you let me see your hand? Lord, you know the intent of our own heart, and I pray that you would continue to add to us the spirit of thanksgiving, because we have you as the living Savior, and our story is blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We humbly pray in Jesus' name.